Sister Setiva was prying the paws of little Euch from the dormitory windowsill.
Oh, come away from there, you wee pestilence!
Attracted by the shouting from the gatehouse area, she peered over to see what was amiss there. Ragabol's hoarse yells left her in no doubt.
All paws to the walls, elves! Bring spears, slings and bows! Jump to it, the striped dog's ear!
Setiva caught Abbot Carroll's sleeve.
There's some beast out there. Yon sea rat's howling like a mad beast.
Torrin was out the dormitory door with Martha close on his heels. Carroll and Setiva followed as Torrin called to them.
Up to the floor above, mates. You can see better from there.
Redwallers crowded to the second story windows, which gave them a clear view of all that was taking place. Out on the flatlands, Lonna was raising his bow again. Brotherweld transmitted an excited commentary of what was taking place for the benefit of those few who could not see.
Great seasons of slaughter. It's a giant badger lord. The sea rats are throwing spears, firing sling stones and arrows at them. Ha ha! Their range is too short. Their weapons can't touch him. Oh my, oh golly, did you see that?
Old Fred croaked impatiently.
See what? I can't see a thing.
Brother Weld described what he had seen.
The big badger fired off an arrow. More like a spear. It struck a sea rat up on the rampart. Got the vermin dead centre and drove him clear off the wall onto the lawn.
Sister Setiva shook her head in disbelief.
Oh, what a shot! I've never seen aught like it.
The abbey beast set up a great cheer. Lonna caught sight of them and waved. Leaning out from the upper windows, the Redwallers waved back furiously, shouting encouragement.
Give them blood and vinegar! Well done, friend!
That's the stuff, big fella! Keep those shouts coming!
Oh, sir, huge beast! You can give me vermin, so billy-o!
With her eyes shining fiercely, Martha yelled at Torrin.
Isn't he magnificent? Can't we do anything to help him?
The Ottercook bit his lip anxiously.
We got nothing to throw that'd span the range twixt this abbey and the wall tops. Tis too far off for sling stones. There ain't a single bow and arrow in the building. We'd love to help the big badger, but what can we do, miss? What?
Brother Gelf, normally a quiet and obtrusive mouse, spoke out.
I may be able to help, but I'll need to be down in Great Hall. I think I'll need a long window pole, some twine, a couple of those pepper bombs and a few stones. Make them slightly larger than sling stones, but not much.
His curiosity immediately piqued. The abbot bowed to Gelf.
You shall have them, brother. Let's go down to Great Hall. No pushing there, please. Let Gelf go first.
Up on the wall tops, the sea rats were lying low, stunned by the accuracy of the bow beast. Ragabol was trying to instill some confidence in his crew.
We're safe behind this wall, buckos. That stripe dog's got to stay out of our range. Soon as he moves forward, we'll get him. Ain't been a beast born yet that spears and arrows can't slay. All's we got to do is stay inside these walls.
Werga shuffled closer to Bol.
Aye, but while we're on the inside, the striped dog has us pinned down from the outside. No sea rat owns a weapon with the range and power of that big bull, Captain.
Bol did not want to hear this. He stared cold-eyed at the seer.
What would you have me do then? Run out and charge him?
The loss of her three sons rankled Werga, who now did not lose the opportunity to needle Bol.
We outnumber the big beast by about 20. I never saw a sea rat captain back off with those odds on his side.
Before Bol could strike out or argue against Werga, a sea rat further along the parapet gave out a shout.
Ah! What the? What?
He fell sideways, slain by one of the big arrows. Ragabol crawled swiftly along and inspected the dead crew rat.
What in the name of blood and thunder happened to him?
Cowering fearfully against the battlements, the rat who had been crouching beside the victim babbled out.
I saw it, Captain. Going out was hit by something from behind. There it is, see? One of those little bags of pepper tied in a string with a stone at the other end.
Bol unwound the object from around Gornet's waist.
From behind? This thing got him, you mean from the abbey?
The sea rat nodded vigorously.
Aye, it came from over that way, I swear it, Captain. Poor Gornet got a terrible smack from it. The thing hit him and wrapped right round his waist. It must have cracked a rib, because Gornet shouted and jumped up. That's when the arrow took him straight through the neck.
Turning to face the Abbey building, Ragabol saw another of the missiles come whirling through the air. It spun round and round on its twine, weighted at one end by the pepper bomb and on the other by the stone. This time it missed and struck the wall side. The pepper bomb burst, sending its load over two rats crouched directly beneath. One had the sense to stay down and do his sneezing. The other leaped up and sneezed once. Then an arrow silenced him for good. Down in Great Hall, the Red Wallers had unblocked the shutters from one of the tall windows. Torrin took the window pole from Brother Gelf.
"Can I try your new sling pole out, brother?"
Gelf smiled quietly.
"Be my guest, sir."
Laying the twine across the hooked metal end of the pole, the Otacook raised it, straight up, facing out of the window. Holding the end of the pole in both paws, he let it lean back across his shoulder until it lay flat. Then he whipped it upright with swift force. The missile flew off through the high open window. There was a short interval of silence, followed by an agonised screech. Torrin grinned.
"It works!"
There was no shortage of the homemade weapons. More window poles were brought, and more volunteers came forward, eager to try out the new weapons. Competition became so fierce that, owing to several of the defenders hurling the missiles at the same time, some of them missed the open window space. These projectiles struck the walls and lintels, bouncing back into Great Hall and bursting.